traits are all about language, about having words to describe what we see and hear in the writing we love. Take any area of specialization you can dream up, medicine, law, construction, cooking, anything. Try learning the concepts and procedures of that specialty without language. You'll find it pretty challenging to get past the most rudimentary levels, but add language, add terminology, and without trying to get too dramatic about it, it's as if giant curtains are swept aside, revealing continually expanding vistas of understanding. We wouldn't even think about trying to teach math without elaborate tiers of language. Just imagine having no names for numbers. No 1, 2, 3, 4, 62, 1,000, a million, infinity. No names for mathematical processes. No addition, subtraction, multiplication, percentages, fractions, square roots. How hard would that be? For years, though, we have tried to teach writing with minimal language or vague language. We say things like this. Did you ever get one of these cryptic marginal comments on your own writing? Be more specific. Awkward. Watch your diction. Think about syntax. This kind of language doesn't speak to student writers. They don't know what we mean. They feel confused and often put down as well. This is not a very good place from which to write. They know they're supposed to change something, but what? They're not sure. They end up making their writing longer or neater, correcting conventions, changing the font. These are not substantive changes. Plus, revising this way, like painting by numbers, kills internal motivation. We shouldn't, any of us, revise our writing by chipping away at little blemishes or patching up tiny cracks. We need to stand back and see the whole. Then we need to revise to make what's on the page more closely match our own internal vision of meaning. In order to do that well, we have to get inside our own writing. We have to assess it. This is where clear language helps us. You know those pictures you see in the psychology books where you look at it one way and it's a vase, and then you look at it another way and it's two people staring at each other? A writing guide is just like that. On the one hand, it's a tool for assessment, but on the other, and this is the important part, it's a guide to revision. Look at the top levels of any writing guide, the 5 and 6 on a 6-point scale, and you'll see the things writers do when they revise. They add details and examples. They clarify meaning. They focus so as not to overload the reader with trivia. They begin and end in powerful ways, and so on. As students learn the language of the writing guide, they learn to talk comfortably about these kinds of revision possibilities, and that's when magical things happen. I recently visited the classroom of a teacher friend, Judy, who uses the traits with enormous skill. Her students know the language of the territory. They have their own student rubrics, they have checklists in their writing notebooks, and the walls of Judy's classroom are covered with trait language, much of it from students themselves. When students are talking about voice, for example, a student might say something like, "Voice happens when you really reach out and touch a reader." And Judy just springs to life. "Hold that thought," she'll tell her student. "I need to get that down." She reaches for a pen and she captures the student's personal definition of voice on a sentence strip and posts it on the wall. See, now this is tremendously creative use of a writing guide. The language in a writing guide is not meant to hem people in. I know it is often used that way, but that is a misuse, an underuse, if you will. The language in a good writing guide should serve as a springboard to new thinking. This is why rubrics should be thought of as living, breathing documents, ever stretching, ever expanding to reflect our growing understanding of writing or any content area. Just as a sidebar, I still have my copy of the original 6-trait rubric, and it's a maze of crossouts and arrows everywhere because we kept changing it, you see, finding a new way to say things, a better way. Language affects every aspect of our teaching. Take conferences, for example. When Judy's students come to a conference, she asks that they come with a question. A student may say, "I see that a lot of my sentences start the same way, but I don't know what to do about that." Or, "This feels more like a report voice than a memoir voice." These kinds of questions keep a conference focused, but they do something much more important. They ensure that precious, short conference time is spent on something important to the student, not some tedious, sweeping overview of the whole document, "read your paper to me," which usually benefits nobody, but a quick, focused look at a specific problem this particular writer is having right now. Judy's students also use trait language in communicating with one another. It's just inspiring to see how extraordinarily efficiently third graders can run their own sharing session in writing workshop just by asking listeners for specific advice. Now, I want to emphasize that this isn't some kind of artificial thing where students are holding rubrics in their hands and reading from them. No, they carry in their heads their own concepts of what it means to have powerful ideas or strong organization or strong voice. No rubric really truly makes a difference until the writer has rewritten it internally in his or her own head, personalized it, in other words. So in this sharing part of workshop, you'll hear student writers say things like this to their peers. As I was writing, I found myself going in a whole different direction. So I want to see if it makes sense now. Or I can't decide if this is more of a mystery or a comedy. What do you think? Or I can't decide how to end this. I need help. These students are no longer just polite participants in a prescribed workshop routine. They're fellow writers helping one another, listening with purpose, and responding in ways that support revision. In this kind of workshop, there is no script. Anything can happen. And that's why it's fun and enlightening to be there. We want our students to revise with purpose, but most of all, we want them to be in charge of their own writing process to choreograph the dance themselves. Language is the beginning. Language gives students power.